I'd ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation 1. Hear now God's holy word. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So far the reading of God's holy word. I'd ask you would also turn with me in the back here, Psalters, to Belgic Confession, Article 1. There we confess, we all believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that there is one only simple and spiritual being which we call God, and that he is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite, almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all good. And again, our focus this afternoon is on the fact that he is eternal. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God begins with 10 simple words, words that are the most revealing and at the same time, for many people, the most controversial words in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. These words are controversial for many because they assert three very crucial truths. They assert that there was a beginning to the universe, that there is a God, and that God is the creator of the universe. These words stand in bold defiance to any theory of cosmology that teaches an endless universe, a godless universe, or a self-created universe. But there is more. Not only do these opening words of Genesis state that there was a beginning to the universe, and that there is a God, and that God is the creator of the universe, what these words also make clear is the truth that before there was a beginning, there was God. He existed before he began his creative work of the heavens and the earth. And that is because he is eternal. And it is this eternal attribute of who God is that we are going to look at this afternoon. I bring you God's word this afternoon with the simple theme, our eternal God. Beloved, as we study the attributes or perfections of God, our study of God is always so that we can come to know more and more of who God is, and in so doing to more and more be able to glorify him more and more, to each day exclaim the wonder and the awesomeness of God. And God can only be known insofar as he pleased himself to reveal himself to us in creation and in a special way in his word. And this knowledge of God is by very nature of the case incomprehensible because we are not God. We read in Job 11 verse 7, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths of the grave. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. Beloved, we need to learn to humbly acknowledge that man can never fathom God's essential being. Humbly and heartily, as little children mimic the words of those older than they are, we just repeat after God what He has already so clearly told us about Himself. As we read in Revelation 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And so, this being the case, we confess in Article 1 of the Belgian Confession that there is one simple and spiritual being which we call God, and that He is eternal. Beloved, Scripture throughout attests to the fact that God is eternal. Psalm 90 verse 1 says, Lord, You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or You brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Here we get again a reference to what was spoken of in Genesis 1. The fact that before creation came into being, there was God. Before there was anything, there was always God. And this is because He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is eternal. Beloved, eternal is such a difficult thing to grasp, an impossible thing to understand, to comprehend for us who are finite. And that is because for us also, everything is determined by time. Our whole lives are considered within the framework of time. We read in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 and following, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And it goes on and on to speak of a time for. Everything we do is time related. We look at everything from the perspective of time. All of history is time. We speak of years and days and hours and minutes and seconds and even light years. We understand everything against time and in relation to time. There's a time we are born and a time that we die and a time in between. Psalm 90 reminds us of this when it says in verse 9, we finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Beloved, all of our life is one that is measured by time. All we know is time. Every time we celebrate a birthday, we are celebrating time and dealing with time, but not for God. For God, there is no time. He transcends the very categories of time and space. Time is mankind's measure of duration, not God's. God does not experience time the way that we do. We read in Psalm 90, verse 4, for 1,000 years in Your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. Think about it. For God, a millennium, 1,000 years, is in God's sight like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. It's nothing. Time means nothing to God because He is eternal. God has already lived all our tomorrows as He has lived all our yesterdays. With God, there is an everlasting present. There is no time with God. Time marks the existence of created existence. But God never began to exist. He preceded time. He was before time. God is the one who created time. When He created the heavens and the earth, He created time. Just think about that for a moment. That has to just blow our minds away. That God created time. Time began in Him and will end in Him. Before this universe was created, time, at least as we know it, did not exist. But with the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the beginning, God also created time. Day and night, morning and evening. Time, like everything else in creation, started at one time, was created at one time, began at one time, and needed a cause to begin. But not with God. Beloved, God transcends all limitations of time and space, and yet He penetrates every moment of time with His eternity. He is omnipresent in that He transcends all time and space, and yet bears up every point of space by the almighty and ever-present strength and help of God. What this means is that our God exists in one indivisible and eternal present. Eternal is a perpetual duration which has neither beginning nor end. Because God lives in an everlasting now, He has no past and no future. When time words occur in Scripture, they refer to our time, not God's time. For Him, everything that will happen has already happened. This is why God says in Isaiah 46, verse 9, I am God and there is no other. There is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. God sees the end and the beginning in one view, because He is eternal and self-existent. Beloved, children can sometimes ask the question, Mommy, who made me? Mommy will say, God made you, dear. Well, Mommy, who made the sky and the trees? Mommy can say, God made the sky and the trees. God made everything. But Mommy, who made God? Here's where many a parent starts going, maybe, uh-oh. But who made God is a natural question for a child. If everything has a maker, then who makes the maker? If everything has a cause, then who causes the cause? The simple answer is that God does not require a cause. God always was. He is eternal. He causes all creatures to be. He causes time to be. But He Himself is caused by no one. He makes all things move, but He Himself is moved by nothing. God eternally has existed of Himself and in Himself. He is not a contingent being. He did not derive from some other source. He is not dependent on any power outside Himself in order to exist. God simply exists. He alone is self-existent. God is the only one who can say, I am that I am. The grand difference between a human being and God, a supreme being, is precisely this. Apart from God, I cannot exist. Apart from me, God does exist. God does not need me or you in order for Him to be. But you and I, we need God in order for us to be. As we read in Acts 17, verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. This is the difference between God as eternal, self-existent being and us as dependent beings. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 93, verse 2 says, your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Beloved, simply put, God is not a creature. God is not dependent. He is not derived. He is creator. He is eternal God. The psalmist in Psalm 102, verse 25 says, in the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, but you will remain the same, and your years will never end. The answer to the child's question of who made God is simply that God did not need to be made because He was always there. He exists forever, and He is eternally the same. He does not grow older. His life does not wax or wane nor deteriorate. He does not gain new powers nor lose those that he had. He does not mature or develop over time. He does not get stronger or weaker or wiser as time goes on, because with God there is no time. He again created time. It does not affect him. He is not dependent on it. He is eternally the same. Everything that God is, he is eternally. His might is eternal. His wisdom is eternal. His justice is eternal. His goodness is eternal. His love is eternal. Just as God from everlasting to everlasting is God, so too his love is also from everlasting to everlasting. We read in Psalm 103, verse 15, "As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to those who fear him." Beloved, God's love is not a fickle love that goes from hot to cold over time. His love has a constancy about it that transcends all forms of human love. Human beings can fall in love and out of love. This is never the case with the love of God. God's love, along with all of his other attributes, all of his other qualities, is from everlasting to everlasting. It is eternal. Beloved, this knowledge of who God is gives the believer unspeakable consolation, because the eternal God is also our eternal dwelling place. Since God is eternal, he can be and continues forever to be the one safe haven of rest for God's time-driven people. Verse 1 of Psalm 90 says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations." God is a perpetual, an eternal refuge and security for us. His providence is not confined to just one generation. It is not temporary. It is not that one age only tastes of his bounty, his blessings, his goodness, his mercy, or his grace. He is our dwelling place throughout all generations to secure us who are here on earth and those in heaven above. He has always been a haven to protect and preserve us. Think of this, beloved. If God was not eternal, then all our happiness, our hope, and being would expire with him if he was not eternal. But he is everlasting, which gives us everlasting happiness and life. We read in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, that God has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. To be made for eternity and forced to dwell in time is for mankind a tragedy of the greatest proportion. Everything within us cries for life and permanence, and everything around us reminds us of mortality and change. But this is our living hope. He has set eternity in the hearts of men, and because God is eternal, we who are in Christ have eternal life. We read in Revelation 1, verse 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.' Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Beloved, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." Our deepest fears flow out of our fragileness. We are afraid of sickness, of cancer, of pain, of suffering, of sorrow, of the valley of the shadow of death. These fears are relieved when we realize that Jesus holds the keys to Hades and to death. Jesus died, and when he arose again from the dead, he carried with him the keys of death. Jesus, our eternal God, is a Savior with power, ultimate power, and he holds the power of being in his hand. His words, "Do not be afraid," these are not empty words. You and I have nothing to fear from death, because our eternal God holds the keys to death. The fact that God is eternal. This should bring always great joy to our hearts. It gives meaning to our lives. The fact that God is eternal, that we talk about this eternal God. This is not just some cold doctrine that we are talking about here. This is not just some sort of plain fact that does not have a very, very concrete meaning for us. We read in Romans 4, verse 17, of the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. The eternal God that brought you and me. Believe. The eternal God that you and I believe in brings life out of death, brings into being that which does not exist. This summarizes the supreme power of God. He can give breath to the lifeless corpse, and he can make something out of nothing. No human life can bring life out of death. No human being can make something out of nothing. No human being can give eternal life. Only an eternal God can. Beloved, out of eternity, our Lord Jesus came into time to rescue us from our sins and God's eternal condemnation by dying on the cross of Calvary, and by his death and resurrection gives to all who look to him in faith eternal life, everlasting life with God forevermore. Jesus said in John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Christ Jesus came into time to take time away and give us life forevermore. And now in Christ, God will be our dwelling place throughout all generations and forevermore. In closing, we read in Revelation 21, verse 1 and following, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Amen.